Hey, everybody, is Telegram going to be illegal soon in a country near you? My favorite application is under attack by France. Mike Benz joins us, and Batya Ungar Sargon joins the program to talk about Donald Trump's populist revolt. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. As always, you can get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. The Unity Party is ascendant, and we must defeat Team Blue. Turning Point Action registered hundreds of people at the Donald Trump rally. Can we just put a picture here? I just want you to understand before we get to Batya, great American. I just want you guys to understand, this is the rally last week. You would imagine that every single person attending this rally is registered to vote. Nope. Hundreds of people that even show up to a Trump rally are not registered to vote. Now, to be fair, some of them are registered to vote in irrelevant states like Colorado and California, and they've recently moved to Arizona and they haven't yet switched their registration. We did that. We will get the final number, but we have registered. We registered hundreds of new voters. Every MAGA rally in the country, we need to have voter registration happening on the ground. Joining us now is Batya Ungar Sargon, opinion editor of Newsweek, author of Second Class. Batya, welcome to the program. Your reaction to RFK embracing and endorsing Donald Trump and the combination forces of populism against the oligarchy.
Thank you so much for having me, Charlie, and thank you for all of the work that you do for this great nation. I'm always in awe of you and how much you're putting in on so many fronts. So thank you for all of that. Let me tell you my first thought when I saw RFK Jr. up there on that stage with Donald Trump. I thought to myself, RFK Jr. is going to provide America with a lens through which we can more accurately understand what the Donald Trump presidency is all about, which is what you exactly said, which is this is the unity candidate. If Donald Trump were being accurately perceived based on his policies alone, without the constant lying from the Democratic media, we would all be able to see that he is running a consensus campaign on the issues alone. You look at where he is. Donald Trump has laid out a position on every issue that is where 65% of Americans are at. And this is simply invisible because of the massive amount of lying about him that goes on in the Democratic media. And what RFK Jr. has done is by standing next to him, RFK Jr., who is pro-choice, who is pro-environment, who wants to make America healthy again, cares a lot about healthcare. What he's done is he has sort of filled out the image of Donald Trump to where we can now accurately see that this is not about left versus right. This is about a multiracial working class agenda to elevate America versus the oligarchy of the left.
Yeah. And so this is such an exciting moment. We have Tulsi Gabbard. We have Elon Musk, who interestingly is kind of that oligarch mold, but he's a class traitor. That's what you kind of see as a common theme. Kennedy from Hyannisport, Massachusetts, class traitor. Trump from high society, New York, class traitor. And in order to have a successful populist rebellion, you need bottom up and just a couple people that were once part of that said oligarchy to defect and to represent the needs, wants, and interests of workers. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's not just top down, but also bottom up. I don't know if you saw, there was a very viral video of a young woman who was a volunteer at the DNC, which I was also at. And what she pointed out was something that I also noticed, which is how absolutely astronomically wealthy all of the speakers at the DNC were. You had people who were millionaires and billionaires, celebrities, movie stars, musicians, the Obamas, right? People with a net worth of $50 million, $100 million. I mean, if you combine the net worth of all of the people who spoke at the DNC, it would be more than the GDP of many small countries. And she was pointing this out, this volunteer who said that she has been a Democrat her whole life, and she simply could not connect to what was going on at the DNC. She felt like it was, you had these boxes that were for sale around the top of the arena for $500,000. And she said, you had the rich people literally looking down at the delegates, at the average Americans. You know, as I put it in my piece, it's the sort of let them eat joy campaign, right? The vibes campaign. They are offering working class people who are struggling to feed their families the joy of the rich and powerful in exchange for their votes. And so I think this is becoming really, really obvious. And the contrast with the RNC, I mean, every minute of the RNC, you knew if you were a struggling American, what Donald Trump was going to do on day one to make your life materially better, to make it easier for you to get to church and back, for make it easier for you to feed your family, you know, protein on a regular basis. That contrast is becoming very, very, very stark. And I think the addition of Bobby Kennedy Jr. to the Trump ticket has really added to it.
And so let's talk about that. The DNC was all vibes, all emotion, all feelings, dare I say, and I mean no offense, hyper feminine. It was not rooted in any sort of policy or substance. It seemed to have no concern about the suffering of the country. It still might work, but Baccia, it was the opposite of populism. It was, you can say it's elitism, but it was so condescending. It's as if we're going to have our high society party when the rest of the country, in every single poll, in every conversation, 75% of the country is significantly suffering economically. They cannot pay their medical debt. They cannot pay for groceries. They cannot afford homes. But at the same time, the Democrat Joy Party might work because there's a corporate media infrastructure with its organs all over American society that have a lot of power. How do we defeat the vibes of the Democrat Party?
It's a really important question. It's the media, but it's also the fact that their base is rich people and rich people vote because they have time to. They have time to think about this. They have time to watch MSNBC all day. It's just a known fact that people who are rich engage more politically. And that's why I think what you're doing, Charlie, is so freaking important because you are bringing it to the average American, to the working class American, to people who don't necessarily have the luxury to sit around watching cable news all day, but they know that they can come here and hear you talk about the plunder of the working class by these over-credentialed college elites who are the Democrats' base. I think you're totally right. You know, we make fun of Kamala Harris not engaging with the press. We make fun of Kamala Harris for not having any policy agenda to help working class Americans. It's not just funny and ridiculous. It is outrageous. It is an outrage to take the stage at the end of the DNC and talk about your family for half an hour and talk about, you know, how you're going to make this country better without offering a single policy proposal. We should just take it on faith from one of the biggest flip-floppers this country has ever seen, a person who say whatever she thinks the base of her party wants to hear. So I think it is extremely important to keep driving home the case that, you know, there are two options here. There is the vibe of the wealthy, or there is the policy of the working class. That is really the choice in this election.
So Baccia, you are supporting Donald Trump. Is that fair to say? And is that correct? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
You know, I'm still undecided because she came out with this policy proposal where she was talking about sort of price controls. And I know everybody really doesn't like price controls, but that kind of, when she said that, when she came out with her economic agenda, I thought, okay, all right, we're going to have, you know, we're going to have now an election on the issues. You have the Democrats model, which is the sort of redistributionist model, where they're going to say, okay, we're going to raise taxes on the wealthy. We're going to do price controls. We're going to try to get inflation down, right? That's an option. And then you have the Donald Trump option, which is the protectionist model, which says, no, we don't go at it by, you know, raising taxes on the rich and then giving that out to the working class. They don't want the taxes of rich people, right? They want their labor to reward them with the most modest version of the American dream. That's the Trump model, is you protect the dignity of the labor of working class people, and then you allow them to have more of their money, keep more of their money, and then buy the things that they need. And I thought, okay, great, let's see how this plays out. And at the time, I thought, wow, she has a real chance at this point, right? It seemed sort of like things were going in her direction. I have to say, after the DNC, I do feel that things are sort of moving more in Donald Trump's favor again, because it was so light on policy, because there was so little there that a struggling American could sort of sink their teeth into.
Batya, thank you so much. Hope Donald Trump wins your vote. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As we gear up for another important election year, remember that we vote every day with our dollar. One of the best ways to support America is by buying from local farms and ranches. Good Ranchers makes this easy by delivering 100% American meat to your door. When you shop with Good Ranchers, you're not just getting the best meat for your family, but also supporting American farmers and ranchers. This year, instead of buying imported meat, cast your vote for American agriculture and local economy. I've used Good Ranchers meat for quite some time, and they never disappoint. Whatever your choice of protein, you'll be pleased if you cast a vote for Good Ranchers. Use code KIRK for $25 off your order and your choice of free chicken breasts, ground beef, bacon, or wild-caught salmon for a year. It's time to make a stand. Vote for American meat with Good Ranchers. Your purchase helps keep American farms thriving and ensures you get the highest quality meat for your family. I love Good Ranchers. You should check it out right now at goodranchers.com. Use promo code KIRK. That is goodranchers.com. Check it out right now. Promo code KIRK. All right, everybody, we have a fight on our hands. This is not going to be easy, but I feel much better about our chances after Friday. Seeing RFK on stage with Donald Trump, it's a game changer. Changes the ballots, changes the polling, changes the probability, shows that we have an ascendant movement. It's a morale high, and honestly, a morale boost that we could just kind of put Chicago in the rearview mirror. It's brilliant. And credit to the Trump campaign team. By the way, you know they did this by one day. By one day, they were able to get RFK submit his paperwork to Arizona, and he took out, he's no longer on the ballot in Arizona. It's massive. Arizona is probably the state where RFK was strongest. A lot of independent voters, a lot of MAHA voters, a lot of women that don't like Trump, but they cannot stand Democrats. A lot of people that do not follow the entire vaccination schedule. RFK has a huge following in Arizona. And I am proud to announce we are going to be doing health-focused summits and events with RFK in Arizona from now to the election. Mom-centered, people-centered, health-centered, MAHA events, Make America Healthy Again, with RFK and with female influencers. The data is in. We got some serious problems with this data. We were looking at this yesterday. Now, this is from the New York Times, Siena, but it is directionally correct because of the breakdown. Gen Z women are favoring Kamala Harris by nearly 40 points. Gen Z men are favoring Trump by about 15 points, which is really, really good. That is very good. Millennial men favor Trump by 15 points. Millennial women, they favor Harris by a little under 20 points. Now, if I were to ask you, what generation is Trump strongest at? Where is Donald Trump the strongest? It is not baby boomers. It is Gen X. And that is something we have been saying on this program for quite some time. The rise of Gen X. Gen X are the kids of the Vietnam era. So they were born during the Vietnam era. That's when they were born. And they have been passed over by boomers. They've been living in the shadow of the baby boomer generation their entire life. They're born between 1965 and 1980. Gen X is by far the most conservative generation in America. Gen X men favor Donald Trump by 20 points. Gen X women, ages 45 to 64, favor Kamala Harris by only about 5 points. Now, ages 65 plus, baby boomers. Now, again, this polling could be a little off, but it's directionally correct because you know this by the breakdown of Gen Z. Baby boomer women favor Kamala Harris by 20 points. I think that's a little bit generous, but that is a fire alarm if true. Said differently, baby boomer women, according to this gender gap poll with eight categories by the New York Times, Siena, baby boomer women are the second most liberal female category, even more liberal than millennial women. We can do a lot better with baby boomer women. Baby boomer men, congratulations. Very conservative. Sort of. According to this poll, Gen Z men are more conservative than baby boomer men. According to this poll, millennial men are more conservative than baby boomer men. Now, let me just make a plea for our wonderful baby boomers in the audience. Please fix this. Please. If this ends up being correct, if this manifests in reality, we will not win. I'm going to be as blunt as I possibly can. I don't think this poll is correct. They oversampled Democrats. The New York Times Siena poll had us down 5 in Arizona. That is not correct, okay? We might not win Arizona. I hope we do. Down 5. No universe is that going to happen. A picture of reality right now. But baby boomer women and Gen Z women, according to this sample survey, because it's directionally correct, are the most liberal women in the country. And you just got to love the Gen X women. The Gen X women also almost might vote majority Trump. What if Gen Z men, millennial men, and Gen X just, if Gen X runs the table and women and men end up favoring Trump and men end up going 25 plus, you know, 30 plus in Trump's direction, Gen X could save this country. Who is Gen X if you are ages 45 to 64? I could tell you this is 100% correct as the most intense, energized, conservative people in our audience. And if you were to look at the Trump rally that we had in Phoenix, the vast majority of attendees, we know this because we have the data, were ages 30 to 60. That's the data right there. Gen X in particular. Why is that Gen X is so conservative and anti-Democrat? Very hard to afford things right now, crushed by inflation, been overlooked by baby boomers for quite some time. And they want their country back because they had never actually got a chance to live in it. I want to read this email here. Super smart. Charlie, I'm a Gen Xer. I'm the sixth of seven kids, and where all my older siblings are technically boomers. We're actually all conservatives. However, I dispute your reason why. We lived in America during the best time. We fully enjoyed our freedom as free-range kids and grew up latchkey kids. We learned how to be responsible at a very young age, and we reveled in it. We didn't blame parents for neglect. We loved it. Boomer kids became millennials. Boomer kids were millennials, and they became coddled and hovered over. Hi, Charlie. You are spot on about Gen X. We are the stealth generation, and we are conservative. The problem with boomers is they're stuck in their hippie Woodstock liberalism. They don't understand how their party has changed, and they're afraid to confront the lies. God bless you and keep you, Heather, Gen Xer. Again, I'm not going to agree or disagree with that. I think there is some truth there, though. Okay, joining us now is Mike Benz, who is terrific. Mike Benz is from a very important project. I want to make sure I get the title right. Anyway, Mike Benz, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks. Yep, it's Foundation for Freedom Online. And I appreciate you having me on today.
So I use Telegram every single day. In fact, our entire organization is on Telegram. I have 8 to 9 hours of screen time a day sometimes on Telegram. Telegram is one of my favorite applications out there for security, for privacy, for speed, for group chats, for file sharing. It is objectively the best messenger application out there. And I know because I've used all of them. I've used WhatsApp. I've used Signal. What is the news that occurred this weekend with the French government and a messenger app, Telegram? What's going on here?
Well, the relevance is it's you and it's about 1 billion people worldwide. In most of the world, either WhatsApp or Telegram is the primary use of peer-to-peer communication because there's no fees that you incur, like needing a phone plan or SMS for regular text messages. And there has been a war by the U.S. statecraft apparatus, the State Department, the U.S. intelligence community, the Pentagon, and our swarm army of soft power NGOs to first use Telegram and WhatsApp as an instrument of statecraft to allow U.S.-backed dissident groups or U.S.-backed political movements or U.S.-backed paramilitaries to use a secure end-to-end encrypted chat that has this unique capacity of mass communication, unlike apps like Signal, for example, where you can't have these huge groups and this really versatile multi-channel capacity to simulate effectively a Facebook page in terms of its size, scope, and breadth of people you can reach, but having the benefit of it being a secure, encrypted chat communication. And so there is a very strong, obviously the news is that the founder of Telegram, Pavel Durov, has been arrested in France. And the point that I have been making for the past 48 hours has been that I believe that the role of the U.S. Embassy in Paris has to be interrogated and investigated about whether or not there was a U.S. State Department back channel with French law enforcement or French intelligence or the French government in advance of this arrest, because it is so insanely advantageous to the self-perceived interests and strategic imperatives of the U.S. Pentagon, the Central Intelligence.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Mike. We only have so much time here. What exactly was he arrested for? What were the charges? He just got 12 with 12 criminal counts. What was the CEO arrested for?
Well, he's facing 20 years in prison. What he's technically arrested for is failing to cooperate with French government officials in terms of moderating content on the platform. So this is an end-to-end encrypted chat, and the thing he's being arrested for is failing to censor content on the platform.
Got it. Now, I just want to make sure I understand. That would be like arresting the CEO of Ford Motor Company if someone uses a Ford car to traffic kids across the southern border.
Actually, that's a great analogy. So what they're getting him on is the fact that because Telegram is a secure end-to-end encrypted chat app, there are illicit activities that take place on the platform, surely. You know, child pornography, drug trafficking, human child trafficking. All of those crimes are crimes in their own right. And they are saying that his failure to cooperate with French law enforcement makes him punishable criminally under French law for failing to stop those events. But mark my words, that is not what they are after.
No, of course not. This is an attack on free speech and free expression. Telegram is where the dissident movement lives. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift of preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies. $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229, or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the preborn banner. Also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner. Let me be very clear. Here's my most public and private advice for President Trump. President Trump should announce that when he becomes president, there will be a 300% tariff on French wine day one. If these charges or future charges continue, we will not subsidize NATO. We will not send a penny to NATO. If you go arrest people that own social media or messenger platforms, that is an assault on freedom of speech, period. America will not put up with it. If President Trump wins the presidency, by the way, you know what a 300% tariff on French wine would do? It would destroy the French economy. Just so we're clear. Donald Trump threatened 100% tariff with Macron, and Macron like ran to the hills. You will not do that. Oh, yes, I will. We have so much power over the European government. Mike, do you believe the American government is quietly behind the French government doing this? Are they just merely a proxy of the American Central Intelligence Agency?
Yes. Well, I totally agree with the proposal you just put forward. That is not the blocking point in all of this. I don't think Trump is going to have nearly as much trouble with the French government as he will with his own State Department. This is the same story, by the way, as the EU Digital Services Act, which, by the way, is spearheaded. This is the major censorship law and regulation in the EU that just went into effect where the French head of the EU Censorship Commission, Thierry Breton, just threatened Elon Musk 2 weeks ago for potentially having a conversation with Donald Trump. if you recall that, even to, you know, basically threatened criminal penalties on Elon Musk. But again, that was a French regulatory official at the helm of the EU censorship law, which it has been the number one wish list item on civilian affairs of NATO. And in terms of, you know, the U.S. role in this, the point that I really want to drive home is this has been a strategic imperative of the Pentagon, the CIA, the State Department, and thousands of U.S. government-funded soft power projects to bring Telegram under control, into its possession, not to kill Telegram. Telegram is a critical asset for U.S. intelligence. Telegram was the primary method for mobilizing street protests in the attempted color revolution of Belarus in the summer of 2020. It is a vital asset for U.S. intelligence within Russia itself. If I don't know if your audience knows this, but and you can look this up. Several years ago, in 2018, 26 U.S. NGOs, the lion's share of them U.S. government-funded, U.S. State Department-funded, condemned Russia and threatened Russia for attempting to block, for considering blocking Telegram in Russia. Why did U.S. NGOs call it a human rights violation for Russia to go after Telegram? Well, it's because these NGOs are fomenting the political resistance movements within Russia using the fact that Telegram is an open playing field for all intelligence agencies everywhere. So they want to rig that playing field by taking control of the back end in terms of spying and surveillance, and by taking control of content moderation in order to kill, you know, perceived Russian propaganda channels, because much of the Russian military and much of the Russian civilian class, most of them use Telegram. This is why everyone's celebrating what just happened on social media today is going to have a Ukraine checkmark, you know, emoji icon in their name. And by the way, I'm not even weighing in on the foreign policy of this. The fact is free speech is a casualty of a proxy war by the U.S. blob. And this is happening everywhere all at once. The State Department is pushing this in Brazil.
Let me ask you, sorry, Mike, I totally agree. Is Elon Musk at risk here?
He's a unique case. I don't think he's immediately at risk. I do think that something like this helps build, you know, the sort of substructure of a international norms and standards argument to be able to threaten that against Elon Musk. I think that the fact that Elon Musk is so internationally beloved, the fact that, you know, there is no encrypted, you know, end-to-end, totally anonymized thing. Everything Elon is doing is out in the open. That is, there's, you know, accessing Twitter's back end does not do all that much more. It does some, and there's actually been a lot of weeping and moaning about Elon's changes to terms of service policies. But the fact is this is something of a unique case, because what's done by the Russian military in secret on Telegram is important to the CIA. There's not, you can't really do that, you know, on Twitter. Everything you say is public, and you know, many other reasons maybe that are aside from this. But they are ultimately seeking a rule of law leverage against Elon Musk. But what they're currently doing is that on the civil side. This new EU Digital Services Act, again, spearheaded by a French government official, a French military contractor, doing the wish list items of NATO, as NATO has been pushing the EU to pass this new, you know, disinformation compliance law in the EU. That is a total crowbar that they are going to use against Elon. I wrote about this 2.5 years ago as the number one existential threat to Elon's ability to have free speech, because my organization, Foundation for Freedom Online, even posted the insider clips from Zoom calls of the top U.S. censorship heavyweights in the censorship industry here in the United States, bragging on tape 8 months ago that they would be in full panic with Elon at the helm, but they have a trick up their sleeve that they can panic responsibly, because the EU Digital Services Act will force Elon to put in place the censorship edicts here in the U.S. in order to preserve the European market.
Mike Benz, excellent work as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Brian Glenn is with us. Brian is at the Trump event. Brian, first and foremost, I want the audience to hear your reflection on the time we had together in Phoenix, Arizona last week, Brian Glenn.
I told you it was, I think, the greatest event you guys have put on. Turning Point Action, yourself and Tyler and the whole gang there. You guys really know how to put on an event, and that was one of the best Trump events. I'd say the best event, political event, that I've ever been to. So props to everyone there. Now, behind me is a speaker. We're just moments away from President Trump taking the stage here in Detroit. We're at the National Guard General Conference, and this is just really a kind of their annual, you know, they kind of go over some regulations, some rules, a lot of things that I don't understand, but many of the thousands of people that are in here do. I think better yet, President Trump really showing Charlie his respect for the men and women and our law enforcement and armed services that they have for the country.
Yeah, so this is going to be a unique opportunity here for the Trump campaign. What was President Trump doing this morning? He visited Arlington National Cemetery. Catch our audience up.
Yeah, earlier today he was at the Arlington Cemetery paying his respects for the 13 service members that had fallen with the disastrous withdrawal at the Air Force base there in Afghanistan. But meanwhile, Joe Biden was on his way to his second, and I mean second vacation, a back-to-back vacation. So our chief certainly not spending any time with the service members' families there on this very historic day, the third anniversary of that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan Air Force Base.
So Brian, President Trump has an ambitious schedule this week. What are the other stops? What are the states? And are these going to be some more of those messaging type stops, which I think I'm loving? The rallies are great, but those kind of crisp, focused, policy, measured, here's what I'm going to do, different than Kamala Harris. Walk us through the coming week with President Trump.
Absolutely. I'm with you on top. I love the messaging events that we're seeing from President Trump. So we're stomping not only in here in Michigan, we're down in Pennsylvania coming up. We've got some other stops along back to Michigan in just a few days. We're spending most of his time here in the swing states of Michigan and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin as well. So all of that. But I love these messaging events. They're very specific to target not only the men and women in law enforcement, have just about every police union in the course, President Trump. And I think by the applause you're hearing behind me, they certainly appreciate all that Trump does for men and women that serve this country. So, yeah, campaign doesn't end. He's on the road. Meanwhile, Joe Biden on vacation and Kamala Harris. Well, we're not quite sure what she's doing. She hadn't held a public conference. Press conference since 36 days, Charlie, 36 days since a public press conference.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just why are the American people putting up with this, number one? But you're doing a great job, Brian. I think that the RFK endorsement is a game changer and changes the makeup of this race. And now we're going to have to get shirts together, Brian. MAGA and MAHA, make America great again and make America healthy again. Brian, great work. Thanks so much. So that's the National Guard convention. I wonder if Tim Walz is speaking. That'd be interesting. Tim Walz could talk about his great service in the National Guard. Become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. Okay, this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. This is the Nelk Boys. They're known for their pranks. Now they're getting into political pranks. You got to watch this. This is Cut 41. They put a Harris Walz yard sign in some Patriots yard. Watch this. Play Cut 41.
Hi. Hello there. Hi. I work for the Harris and Walz campaign.
Take it off.
No, I'm going to leave it there.
No, you're not going to leave it there.
Oh, why?
Because I can't stand them.
Do you not support tampons in men's bathrooms?
No, I don't support tampons in men's bathrooms.
Why?
Because tampons are for women. Where are they going to stick it up there? Get it the f*** out of here. Well, get it out of my property.
It looks good there, though. Wait, don't hurt. Don't touch my sign. That's my sign.
I don't give a f***. They're a bunch of communists.
You didn't address me by my pronouns.
What are you, a he, she? Transgender is what you are.
I'm two-spirit.
That is so good. It is, I love that. I hope that lady's okay being famous. Because we're in favor of the lady. I just want to be clear that woman I am in support of. That's the energy that we need. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.